Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Fish on a Heater.
And hello, I'm Brown Bar 10.
And this is PvP Corner, the PvP podcast that can fit under the Great League cap when coming from research. Brown Baller 10, hi, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
We were just recording a video for Devon Corp's new cup, which we will get to later on. We were doing that with SosaFlow for his Poker Battle Network 1 channel on YouTube. And then DeFi came and said, Fish, not feeling well today. Can you find someone at short notice? And I'm like, hey, I know someone at short notice. And that is you, Brown Baller 10. I was like, hey, man, what are you doing right now? Do you want to join me? And you managed to answer the call.
Yeah, glad to be able to have the opportunity. I'm glad to be able to get into the podcast more. It's definitely something that I don't have necessarily the technical skills to do the producing of the podcast, but I can sure talk. So, I mean, I feel like that definitely helps a lot there. So, Definitely excited to be here and love the opportunity and hope to be back maybe in the future.
Yeah, for sure. And for those who don't know who you are, can you tell us a little bit about how you fit into the landscape of Pokemon Go PvP?
Fantastic question. So, I'm Brown Baller 10. I've been a day one Pokemon Go player. So I actually got back into Pokemon PvP during COVID and then pick up streaming and then eventually really enjoyed playing the Go Battle League and just took it from there. Then I learned about Sylph at the time and then started getting into that. And then we had what was Sylph Factions and really helped me develop as a battler with my teammates. And then we had now the Play Pokemon Circuit, which I was able to come in second last year in Toronto and qualify for Worlds and actually got to hang out with you there in Yokohama, Japan. And now looking at 2024 and going forward, it's a new year to, you know, really start, you know, to take advantage of a lot of opportunities, you know, with Devon Corp now becoming a thing. You know, there's definitely, you know, lots of opportunities for all of us, you know, to start growing and, you know, putting our own spin on things.
Yeah. PvP seems to be in a good place, I think.
It does. It really does. It's very unique that, you know, we have, you know, a lot of stuff coming up. I mean, GBL used to be, it was kind of a cut and rinse repeat. Now we're having, you know, some very interesting metas. Like, what is it? Next week we have Open Great League, which we've had for a while, but we also have Hisui Cup, which, I mean, for me, was it? Hisui is Gen 9? Is that correct? I didn't play those main series games as much, but...
Well, Hisui is, I believe, the... I've never been much of a main series gamer. I believe Hisui is Gen 4, but in the past. So it's got, like, some other Pokemon that weren't around in Gen 4, so, like, some other versions of Pokemon, like the Hisui and Electrode, stuff like that, but generally Gen 4.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely... I mean, I don't know about you, but my first games were Gold and then Ruby Sapphire, those generations. Like, those Pokemon I know inside and out. I know everything about them. And then, you know, when we had these newer generations, I had to, like, learn them all. So it's definitely, you know, it's definitely, it feels like it's refreshing to have these new mods come in the meta.
So you never played Gen 1?
Oh, sorry. Let me phrase that. Okay. I did play Gen 1. But I actually played Gen 1 during Gen 3. I didn't get my first Gen 1 game until... I was actually afterwards. I actually got Red, but I didn't have a save on it, so I never could play it.
Oh, really? So, like, just a corrupt cartridge?
Yeah, it was a corrupt cartridge. I got from GameStop at the time. Okay. So, secondhand ones. they're hit or miss. So.
Yeah, for sure. And so it's interesting because, like, so I did start with yellow version. Gold is easily my favorite, but I did start with yellow. And because of that, I feel like for me, the original 151 Pokemon are like the default. And then anything else is just like an addition to that. I don't know how starting with Gen 2 affects that. Like, do you think that the original 250 are the default, or do you think Gen 1 is like an addition, and like the number 152 to 251 or something is like the default?
I guess I did technically have a Gen 1 game. I actually had the trading card game on Game Boy Color. That was my first one, so that's how I got more into Pokemon than anything. And then that's how I kind of learned Gen 1, so I kind of viewed them a little different way. But
okay. Okay. Yeah, that's really cool. So let's get into it. Let's start with our GBL section. And okay. Baller, how have you been going in the Open Leagues era of the season?
I've been getting hard counted a lot more than I'd like to. A lot more than I'd like to. But Fantasy Cup was not kind to me. That one I actually struggled. That's probably one of my worst matches I've had. Yeah. I just really struggled with that one, but Open Great League came back. I ran a fun team that's very spicy. It's Bastiodon, Shadow Vic, and Shadow Grottle. I like it. I think it's really fun to run, especially when I get my Vic on a water type. I kind of laugh. It's a pretty toxic team, to be honest, but you know,
oh, Bola.
It's, you know, sometimes being toxic is, it's actually kind of fun. We all know it is. I know. Yeah. It's not
you're
fun
the trainer we complain about.
Exactly. I mean, like, if we didn't have a trainer to complain about, where would the fun be in that?
So you're playing that in Open Great League at the moment, right?
Oh,
the Bastiodon Double Razor Leaf?
I actually switched it up to Bastiodon, Vic, and Jellicent because I saw a lot of Annihilapes, and I kind of wanted to counter it, so I did. Mm-hmm. And actually, it seems working pretty well.
Okay. For me, I have been running every team, just all of the possible teams, and none of them are working. I have dropped 400 points from peak so far. Yeah, so running around 2300, just nothing seems to be working. Like, I've been running my Gligars, my Skeledirges, my Whiscash, my Annihilapes, my Poliwraths, my I've tried everything but Bastiodon Double Razor Leaf.
I mean, sometimes desperate times call for desperate measures, and you know, sometimes it feels really good when you do it.
Oh, see, I know the only reason I'm so against the idea is because I know how I feel when I beat that team. And like, I get such a sense of like, yeah, you take that. Like, you tried to bully me, I'll bully you back. So I don't want to be the bully.
So sometimes it's worth it. Sometimes, you know, it is enjoyable when you win with it, though, because it's like, I faced a lot of double wire teams, though, like, oh, yeah, that was
a rip. All right, so coming up, we have from January the 26th to February the 2nd, we have Open Great League is continuing, and we have Hisui Cup, where anything that was available in the game Pokemon Legends Arceus in that Pokedex is eligible. So the PB Poke top 10 are Mantine, Shadow and Regular Gligar, Shadow and Regular Bastiodon, Lickitung, Shadow and Regular Whiscash, Umbreon, Shadow and Regular Machamp, Shadow Abomasnow, Cresselia, and Shadow and Regular Warrein. So, Baller, have you taken a look at this meta yet? Do you have any ideas for it, or do you plan to stick with Open Great League?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going to try it. I mean, Umbreon looks safe. Umbreon looks very safe, which is...
Yeah.
The Machamp, that looks about it. I mean...
The matchup with Cresselia would be pretty interesting.
It's pretty in Umbreon's favor, though. I mean, yeah. Like, I like the idea maybe of, like, Umbreon Bastiodon core, but, like, Bastiodon doesn't look as good, I think, as it's simming on here. It looks like it's winning a lot of neutral matchups, but Gligar, Whiscash are probably going to be very strong. I mean, Mantine is going to be so fun to get Bastiodon on, especially if you're in Bastiodon.
Hydro Pump Mantine win.
I think we're more likely to get acrobatics, but it's hard to tell after the air ace changes in wing attack buffs. So, I mean, I think that makes Whiscatch a little bit harder to run. Licky looks safe as always. I think Licky Umbreon looks very strong. So, I mean, you just need an anti-Machamp, which
that you could go Mantine.
Mantine, but I think Cress might be the overall best lead there. I'd probably put there. Just put a bunch of bulk, and then it's hard to beat bulk sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. And Cress would do slightly better into Bastiodon than Mantine would. Like, those grass knots can add up.
Yeah, they do. I mean, it's not a winning matchup, but if you play it right, you can put yourself in a pretty decent spot.
Yeah,
I mean, actually, after looking at it, I mean, man, that's kind of a champ. If you can avoid the Gligar and the Mantine, wow, you might be in a fantastic spot, personally.
Yeah, Shadow Champ.
That looks very strong, actually.
Neutral or better against pretty much everything except the two that you mentioned. Mantine, Cresselia, and Gligar.
Yeah.
Are the three you want to avoid.
Yeah, which I mean...
Oh, there's Golbat here as well.
Golbat, I think, is going to struggle a little bit. It's not really like beating anything very dominantly. I mean,
If you're running into Cresselia's running Grass Knot, Moonblast, and Psycho Cut, then Golbat would do quite well into that. Then it's also countering the Machamps. The Gligar I'd be very interested in because it's resisting the digs. It's resisting the digs. So you're forced, like against most flyers, you're forced to throw Aerial Aces against it.
Oh, I see Shadow Grottle is eligible for this. Oh,
stop
hello.
It. Stop
hello.
Baller, put the Sims down.
Hello, I like this idea.
Is there another Razor Leafer?
I hope so.
Learn
only
Razor
one way to find out. Only one way to find out. Huh.
Leafeon, Torterra, Dartrix. All right, so we know what Baller's running for his team.
Yeah, you're in Gligar with the RPS. Yeah, you just have two RPS Mons and you have Gligar. You can just win lead and then RPS in the back.
All right. So after that, from February the 2nd to the 9th, we have Open Ultra League and the continuation of Hisui Cup. Let's run through the Open Ultra League top 10, which are Shadow and Regular, Registeel, Giratine, with the legs, XL, Poliwrath, Shadow and Regular, Cresselia, Complete Form Zygarde, Pidgeot, Mandibuzz, Virizion, Cobalion, and Regirock. DeFi, who wrote the notes here, has added in an extra Tapu Fini at number 11. Yeehaw.
Tapu Fini is always good. I mean, it's definitely one of my favorite ones to run in the Ultra League for sure. I mean, there's a lot of good meta mods there. I mean, lots of bulk, lots of play into even bad matchups. I mean, you can never go wrong with any of those mods personally.
It can be a little awkward to use. Like, it's like not the best into Giratina. You have to land that Moonblast, and if you like, if it gets shielded, then you're in trouble. Or if you try and bait and that doesn't get shielded, then you're in a lot of trouble against a Giratina. So a bit of an issue, especially the origin form Giratina, the one that is the floating one.
Right, yeah. I know I always struggle against Registeel. It's incredibly bulky. I just know I don't have the Zygarde, but I wish I did. I am very bad at doing routes. I find better things to do, even though I walk the routes sometimes and I don't do them, but that's my own fault. But I think, you know, Registeel, you can never go wrong with there. I had, honestly, what I think is not even on here that I had a lot of success with is actually Gliscor. Gliscor's at number 25. I do not run Night Slash. I actually like Aero Ace on it. I honestly can justify running Sand Tomb. It's not great, but it's not like
not the best.
Earthquake is obviously better by far, but I definitely think it was very. I like running it in Ultra League personally. I have the Shadow, a very good one. It's something I highly recommend.
Yeah, I love that tip. And with that, we will move on to the next week, which is February 9th to 16th. That is Open Master League and the Evolution Cup. So Evolution Cup, we have had it before, and it is slightly different each time. It is only Pokemon that have evolved at least once and can evolve again will be eligible. So the Middle Child Cup. The big difference with, like, rankings aren't out for this one, but there is one difference I can think of between this and previous cups, and that is the inclusion of Primeape. Now that Primeape has an evolution, Yeah, because there was a lot of Vigoroth around and a lot of Dusclops around. So, like, Night Slash on that thing. And, like, Dragonair would have to worry about Ice Punch as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bring up a fantastic point. That's definitely going to put Vigoroth in check. I think, you know, honestly, I might be wrong here, but is Charge a Bug with Volt Switch now new to Evolution Cup, or was that around last time?
I don't think that was around last time, no.
In my opinion, that might be the best mon, except as long as you don't really get... doesn't love Dragonair, but I think X's are still neutral against it, if I remember correctly.
It is. And so, it would have Crunch for Dusclops, which would make that a pretty okay matchup. Yeah.
Like, I don't think you need Discharge. I mean, Discharge is not that great of a move. I mean, having the Crunch for Dusclops, I think, definitely can help.
It would mean that you would struggle a little more against Primeape, because now you've got two resisted charge moves.
But you resist all of its... you resist counter and you resist close combat, and Ice Punch and Night Slash, they do definitely hurt from a Primeape, but it's at least not super effective and not same attack type bonus either. So, I mean, you may be able to outbulk it. I think Charge Bug Dean Air Core definitely can have some very strong play.
Charge Bug Dean Air Core, what would I break that with? I mean, Vigoroth has such a nice neutral play into, like, even the Primeape as well. Like, you have play with the Vigoroth. So Vigoroth won't be too poorly affected, even though you've got the addition of the Charger Bug and the Primeape, which generally beat it. Like, I still think Vigoroth will be fine.
Vigoroth
will, it'll maintain its position at the front of the meta. So that is GBL for the next few weeks. Let's move on. We've got the in-game events section, and this is a big one that I think dropped like this morning my time as of recording, and that is for Global Sinnoh Tour. The major details of the event will be covered in the main show with Chris and Kyle, but the thing that we really focused in on, the thing that stood out so much to us, is timed research that gives you Heatran, Origin Form Giratina, Cresselia, and Darkrai. And Brownballer, why is that special, that they're coming in research?
If they're coming in research, that means they're level 15, which means they have a chance to be Great League eligible. Crest, you don't have to get lucky on the rolls. That one will always be Great League eligible. Mm-hmm. Giratina Origin, you need a little bit luck in your side. Heatran, I'm not going to lie, I don't know about that one as much. That one looks like you may, let's see here, at 5-5-5. You are still, you can get to level 15. It's going to take a little bit more luck.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's good, but you know, you never know. There's some metas that some mons can always surprise you.
For sure. With buffed Fire Spin and the Legacy Magma Storm.
And also Darkrai can get to Great League. I know for a fact that Darkrai will not be good in Great League. I love Darkrai. It's such a great Pokemon. The design of it is so good. It looks so good. I wish it was better, but it's unfortunately not. But that's not going to stop me from trying to get one in Great League because... you can't trade for Darkrai. It's a mythical. I am incorrect there. I apologize. Yes. Darkrai cannot be eligible for Great League.
So it does look like... you can get the Darkrai, if you're lucky, under the Great League cap. So I see here, like, the rank 1 is a 10, 13, 11 at level 14 and a half. Oh, hang on, no. So if I go to 15... maybe not. If we go 10, 10, 10... actually, no, you cannot. If only it came out at level 14.
Yep. Dark. Maybe they'll make it in the wild spawn. I hope they do, because I really want to run Great League Darkrai. And I'll probably lose a lot with it, but those wins that you get will be so rewarding.
But the main one, right, the Cresselia and the Giratina. Like, Cresselia is, like, it's ranked number 2 as a safe switch in Great League, I think. It's ranked number 2 overall.
Yeah, it is so bulky.
Yeah. I mean, Number three is a safe switch. But yeah, and I've simmed Origin Form Giratina against the meta, and it is a little bit below average. So it is 17 wins and 25 losses. It's losing to a lot of the stuff that you would expect it to lose to. Alolan Ninetales, Dugong, Sableye, Umbreon, Mandibuzz. It doesn't have anything to hit back against those things that would normally counter it.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a little bit less bulk than Kofagrigus, but I mean, maybe it's Dragon type and you can use to its advantage. Dragon Ghost is a fantastic typing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the altered form, when that gets in Great League, that's a whole new ball game.
That's a whole different kettle of fish, isn't it?
Yeah.
Looking at the Great League meta, that has 25 wins and 17 losses.
Yeah, that's going to be good, and I think there's a reason they gave us Origin Form, because that's altered form would be meta instantly.
But it would just be like, whether it's good or not, it would just be so cool to bring out an Origin Form Giratina in your Great League battles.
Yeah, I mean, I think there may be just, I mean, it may be able to be eligible for more, you know, custom metas where dragons are eligible.
Yes.
It may struggle a little bit just not having, if dragons are eligible, they'll probably have dragon type damage, doing damage to them. But I guess in the Fantasy Cup, I mean, I think it actually would have been pretty good because there was not very much dragon fast move pressure. So, yeah. I mean, would love to see that. Unfortunately, we have to wait till next Fantasy Cup.
And being Dragon Ghost means that it does really, really, really well against Registeel.
Yes.
So, yeah, like thinking about that Fantasy Cup, like what were the other big steals? So Ferrothorn, would do great against Ferrothorn.
It'd struggle a little bit against A-Slash, but I mean, shields down, A-Slash does not want to eat a Shadow Ball.
No.
At all.
100%. The other event worth looking at is the Taken Treasure event, which is a Rocket event, and Giovanni will be getting a new Shadow Legendary Pokemon for this event, and that is Shadow Kyogre. Are you much of a Master League player, Baller?
Yes, I actually played Master League for my faction, the Canadian Shield on.
Right. And so what do you think about the introduction of Shadow Kyogre into the meta?
Well, I mean, I know what's going to happen. I'm not going to get a good one, and I'm gonna cry. but what I can say is I'm incredibly excited for this. I actually did not do the Regigigas Shadow that Giovanni had, because I was doubling down on this next one being good, and I was right. So
yeah.
I feel like I don't say that as often as I should, but I was actually right on this one. I thought it'd be actually Shadow Ho-Oh come out, but actually Shadow Ho-Oh be making its raid debut. I am going to be pushing very hard for these Shadow Ho-Oh raids. This is actually very exciting. This Rocket event is absolutely fantastic. With Varum also coming out as well?
And yeah.
Rev Varum. I am not as familiar with those mons. I know they came out in the newest, Scarlet Violet. They have the Poison Steel typing, which makes them a very anti-fairy Pokemon, but very weak to ground. So I'm very curious to how this plays. I love motors. I love car engines, so I'm kind of excited for these Pokemon. I don't know if they'll be good or not, but only one way to find out. It's not going to stop me from building it.
Whether they're good or not. Low stat products. So Varum will not get to 1500 CP, so it won't be usable. But Reverum, it does, and it will have a stat product at the Great League cap of 1682. Ooh.
Yeah, I'd be very curious to see what moves that it gets. I mean, I know that just the CP it can get to is borderline Master League, but maybe it can have some play in the Master League without legendaries. That is Master League
Premier.
Premier. Thank you. I wish I'd come back. That is one of my favorite metas. Master League Premier is so much fun. So yeah, definitely being anti-fairy. We've got, what is it, Florges, which is fantastic in Master League.
Yeah.
I think Togekick as well. I mean, boy, it's going to do very well against Dragonite as well.
It would. With it being as glassy as it is, maybe like Dragonite could overcome it with Dragon Claws. Like, I know that in Master League, the Dragonite Excadrill matchup is actually reasonably favorable for Dragonite because it can tank a Rock Slide where the Excadrill can't tank a superpower.
Yep. Yeah, it wins all evens. But yeah, definitely, I'm excited for it. I love the Pokemon. It's definitely going to be something. It's going to be cold out, and I'm going to have to bundle up for this event.
Put on a cloak and get out there.
Yeah.
A cloak, because people wear cloaks these days. I've been reading Harry Potter. T5 also wants us to mention that Shadow Ho-Oh is going to be in Shadow Raids. Make sure you get one of those for Master League. The best Pokemon to catch in the field research lines are Sableye, Scrafty, the Powdane Wooper for a Clodsire, Krogunk for a Toxicroak, and you can also get Fast and Charge TMs. Got to gobble up them Charge TMs. Right now I'm under 10. Under 10 Charge TMs.
Fast TMs and Charge TMs at research? I'm going to be grinding that. that's fantastic. I mean, all these field research, there'll be a 10-10-10 floor. The ability to get Koffing as well for the XLs for XL Galarian Weezing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm also XL Weezing as well. I think that it's going to eventually get a buff. It's got a lot of coverage. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to I'm building it. I also build everything. But that's Galarian Weezing first. That one's definitely a higher priority. I think right now I haven't got the IVs I'm looking for yet. I'm just looking for Lucky because it's really expensive. But also we have in there the Shadow Raids as well. Shadow Scyther, that's definitely worth raiding.
Oh, yeah, the Shadow Sazor.
Oh, Shadow Skarmory. That's okay.
Look at us getting all excited up in here. The one-star Shadow Raids, you got Alolan Sandshrew. So that's Shadow Alolan Sandslash is pretty busted. I don't know if this would still apply. Basically, I, for a while, was running regular A-slash in my play Pokemon team because it did so much better into Lantern, where the Shadow can't really comfortably tank a Surf. Like, it can tank it, but then it can just get sparked down. Whereas the regular version, it'll still take two drill runs to carry the Lantern either way, but at least the regular can tank a Surf comfortably.
I like both. Honestly run the Shadow more because I have better IVs on it. I have incredibly good ranked Alolan Sandslash, both Powder Snow and Shadow Claw. I grind those Alolan Sandshrew grunts incredibly hard, and I'll be honest, I was rewarded very well. I'm pretty happy for that grind reward. But also, we can have Murkrow be shiny, Pineco be shiny, and Scyther be shiny. These are good Shadow Raids, to be honest. This is a fantastic event.
I mean, I've never been big on the shiny hunt, so I'm going to have to take your word for it. I do know the Pineco is a nice one. Like, I think I've gotten one of those in the past.
I'm not good at grinding shinies, but like when I get them, I'm pretty excited, I'll be real.
it is nice. It is nice looking down and seeing like, this one's a different color.
Also, I think we forgot to mention, though, with those Shadow Ho-Oh raids, it'll also be shiny. So, shiny Shadow Ho-Oh.
Shiny Shadow Ho-Oh.
That's actually... That's
pretty good. Flex.
That is a huge flex. I wonder how many people it'll take to get that down. I mean, it's got double weakness to rock. So, I mean, those Mega T-Tars and what's the other rock Mega? It's Mega... Dancini?
Diancie?
Yes. Thank you. I'm very bad. I'm not good at names sometimes, but yeah. I don't know how good that is in raids, but it's not going to stop me.
You've also got like Rhyperiors with Rock Wrecker.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, this is a very... I'm assuming it's an easier Shadow raid just because of that double weakness.
Yeah, totally. And that's it. That's our event section. So let's move on to our grassroots section, and it's really nice having you here because we don't normally have guests that play the Grassroots Solo format. So it's exciting to get someone here who can speak with authority to the new Devon Cup that has been announced, which is the Sovereign Cup. The Sovereign Cup is an interesting one where only electric, ice, fairy, normal, and psychic types are allowed. There are no steels, no grounds, no rocks, and no ghosts. They've all been banned, as well as no mega Pokemon, which is pretty standard. And then there's a bunch of species-specific bans. Greedent, Chargebug, Azumarill, Litleo, Miltank, Cresselia, Lickitung, Lantern, the Frigibax line, the whole Frigibax line, Bellibolt, Zangoose, Abomasnow, and Munchlax. In addition to that, and the thing that makes it particularly interesting, is that there are moves that have been banned as well. So you're allowed to have Pokemon that know these moves, but you can't use them in your battles. And so they are Counter, Dynamic Punch, Double Kick, and Charm.
Go. Yeah, I mean, this is I don't think I've ever seen a meta like this before. I mean, I think the meta team has outdone themselves this time. This is a fantastic meta. I know we got to try it out in our video of Sosaflow. Definitely the normals were very strong. The Oinkalonge was a very good pick. Dunsparce as well. There's a lot of good in this meta. I think this meta is definitely, I'll say it's a more complex meta, which I personally think works very well at Grassroots. You can have complex metas in open leagues, in GBL, having, you know, complex metas. It's more of a simple game that I think it, too much thinking goes into that. This is, you know, you're taking time, thinking it out, where you can have a very complex meta that's very well developed here. This is, in my opinion, this might be, top three metas we've ever had.
Wow. That's a big call. Like, are you talking across all form, like Grassroots, GBL, Play Pokemon? Like,
yeah.
Top three in any of those.
Yeah, this is good. I mean, there's very few times where I've ever actually like felt comfortable during the entire match. This is completely based on, you know, how like you're never uncomfortable with swap Oinkalonge. You're never uncomfortable with Dunsparce. You're not in a bad spot. You just got to figure out, you know, how to avoid
HP,
getting
basically.
Exactly, you know, how much HP do you have on your Mon and not running out of it. That's the big thing.
Don't run out of health. Our number one tip for PvP.
Don't run out of health. That's definitely the best advice I think they could ever have for PvP. It's actually the most important thing, I think.
I would say so. Yeah, I agree. Good point. Like those normal types are all really safe because like all the good fighting damage has been removed. However, you in our practice battles, you did find one interesting source of fighting damage, and what was that?
Ooh, that was Victini with Focus Blast.
Oh, I was actually thinking of something else. I wasn't thinking of the Victini. The Victini did actually close out a battle for me, but yeah, for you, sorry.
Gramble with Close Combat, that was strong. The issue is, like, I feel like I had only three Mons, and, like, there's four I wanted to bring, which, again, why I think this is one of the better metas, like, I feel like there's metas you're like, okay, I see one Mon I bring, maybe two, but four against a team, that's rare. That's real rare.
Yeah. Because so, what did I have? I had, it was Oinkalonge, Dunsparce, Alolan Raticate I brought in.
Yeah.
And also, I did have Beware, but then we realized that there's something broken about Beware at the moment and you can't actually bring it into a PvP battle. So what else did I have? I had Shadow Celio, I had Vikavolt, and what was my sixth? the Galarian Slowbro.
Yeah.
So I had triple normal in my squad.
Yeah, I know like every meta, everyone say there's RPS. This one really did not feel like it was any RPS. Right. This was a very clean meta. This was...
Yeah, totally. And the other thing you mentioned, which is a really good point as well, with normal types, not just defensively, like the only thing normal is weak to is counter or like fighting moves, obviously. But then offensively, there are three things that resist normal type damage, and they are Ghost, Rock, and Steel. All three of those types have been banned, so there is literally no Pokemon in the meta that will resist normal type damage. So, like, Tackle, Body Slam, and Oinkalone is just, you cannot go wrong.
Yeah, and also Shadows being unbanned, that is one thing I also, this is why I say it's top three meta. I do not like it when Shadows are banned, because I find I don't typically build the Shadow or the non-Shadow, and I don't typically build both. So, like, if I have the Shadow build, I typically don't build the non-Shadow. So, like, it adds a ton of flexibility now to my Pokemon I can bring that I don't have to build, which I really like for this one. So, I mean, I'm excited. I mean, one thing of Shadows, though, is, you know, if they're not eligible, you just purify them, and you get a normal-type move. That's my favorite one in the game, and that is Return.
Yes.
I love running Return. I don't care if it's actually good or not most of the time, but it's a funny meme when you land it, and no mon will actually resist Return in this meta.
It's wild, isn't it? Yeah, and that's the Alolan Raticate I brought. It does have Return as well, with Quick Attack as its fast move. So, well, what is Return? It's 70 energy, isn't it?
Yes, 70 energy.
Okay, so it'll take 9 Quick Attacks to get to a Return, which on a bulky Pokemon, like, you can handle that.
Yeah, and honestly, like, double normal moveset isn't that bad, I think. Like, I mean, I'm curious. I mean, I know we mentioned earlier, but, like, I want to try out Buffalon. Like, you can run legitimately Stomp, Mega Horn. You don't have to run Mega Horn. Probably not the best. That's probably worth moves run. But Earthquake and Skull Bash are fantastic moves in this meta. I mean, it definitely could play a very similar role to Dunsparce, you know. It just felt normals were just good. Like, if you ran 6 normals on a team,
you'd be fine, right?
You'd be fine, yeah.
Yeah. What other normals? You've got, like, Pyrol is another normal type.
That's not a pure normal, though, so I don't know if it's actually as good. It's almost like the secondary typing that goes with the normal may be holding it back more than anything. Sure. I mean, the only other ones that I really see are Linoon. I don't know how well Shadowclaw is going to perform in this meta. I tried Mew with Shadowclaw and actually found Steelwing kind of performed a lot better. But I'm curious how normal cast form will perform as well with Tackle and Weather Ball.
Normal Weather Ball.
Exactly. Well, you can also now add a potentially a coverage move for it for hitting something for super effective. So you can actually kind of open up cast form now. I mean, there's so much now that feels opened up. But there is a fighting move normal type mon that's not Beware, that's pure normal, that I know is probably not good, but again, has never stopped me before, and actually was recently buffed. Do you happen to know what it is?
Is the move a fast move or a charge move?
Charge move.
It's a fighting charge move, recently buffed.
Yes.
And it's a normal type.
Yes, pure normal.
Pure normal.
Yes.
It wouldn't be Zangoose.
No, that's banned.
I don't think that was buffed. That is banned. You're right. So its buff was given the fighting move, or it already had the fighting move?
It already had this moveset from like a long time ago. And just these moves have been slowly buffed.
The moves themselves have been buffed. So it hasn't been given extra moves.
Right.
Exploud.
Ferret.
Ah, Ferret. Okay, yes. Yeah, I was looking at Ferret too, actually, because, like, I saw Alolan Raticate down there, and, like, the Brick Breaks would be double super effective. Like, it's not a good move, but, like, it comes out really fast.
And you have Dig for the ground types.
Yeah.
Electric types.
Electric.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it'll be good. I'm going to probably try and run it, but there's also another normal that's pure normal that I think... I don't know how I feel about, and that is Chansey.
The timeout strats. We do have Blissey that's getting its community day with Wild Charge, so maybe a Blissey Chansey strat in the works.
I don't know how I feel about that, especially seeing how good...
Oh, come on, Basti Double Razor Leafer.
It's fun. it's fun. Also, with it felt like there really wasn't a ton of fast move damage, but like... Porygon 2 might even have an opportunity to excel as well. I mean, it's definitely got play. So, I mean, I'm curious.
So, why Porygon 2?
It's a little bit bulkier than Z. Okay. And tri-attacks will be not resisted, and you have the ability to add a nuke to it. That, I mean, could be fantastic late game. So, I mean, it's just trying to figure out what makes the most sense. Electric, since there's no grounds, I'm assuming Zap Cannon tri-attack will pretty be unresisted for the most part.
Are there any dragons around?
No, they banned Frigibacks, and there's no fairy dragon.
Latios?
There's fairies.
There's there are fairies. And interesting with, like, it's weak to Shadow Claw, but we've established that Shadow Claw is probably not going to be particularly good in this meta because of all the normal types. So maybe you can, you might even be able to go a whole tournament without seeing a Shadow fast move, a Shadow Claw or a Lick or anything like that.
Yeah. Shadow Claw, in my opinion, is the best fast move in the game. Counter's also, it's an interchangeable counter, but I mean, Shadow Claw just didn't feel as good of how strong normals are and counter being banned. So I'm curious what the best fast move in this meta will become. It may be Tackle.
I think Tackle, yeah. And like if by some miracle Beware becomes usable before the month starts, where we've got like a week as of this recording, but that knows Tackle as well.
It does. I mean, you can run as pre-evolution, which is unbanned in Stuffle.
That has to be level 50 XL, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but if it's a Hundo, it only has to be level 48.
Oh, okay. Well, go for your life. You heard it here first.
So, I mean, if you really want to spend a bunch of dust, it honestly has a little bit better bulk than Beware.
Oh, does it? But nowhere near as good moves, right? What's this moveset?
Tackle, Stomp, Superpower, same but Beware.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Wow.
Double Beware strats if it's allowed?
Oh, that would be wild.
That would be, yeah.
You superpower a Dunsparce, and then they're like, oh, well, I survived, and I can just roll out this thing down. How good am I looking? And then, bam, out comes the Stuffle. And you're like, no!
Yeah, and also another one, which we didn't mention that has superpower as well, is Malamar. Neither of us brought that, but I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so one thing I don't like about Malamar is its typing doesn't really give it many advantages. It does resist Psychic heavily, but all their typings will either take neutral or give it super effective damage, which makes it very difficult to swap in. So if you can't swap it in without taking at least whatever the original move was intended to do, you aren't really giving an advantage, which I think maybe you put it more into lead, which was superpower. I guess that can work, especially with how strong it is. But I don't know if it's going to perform all the way. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I think a lot of people are going to try it, but there's obviously some other worse typings out there as well.
It's a shame because like I like the thought of psychic and dark typing. Like it seems like it synergizes so well. It just neutralizes everything. Just kind of neutralizes a weakness on the other side. But then, like you said, it just ends up being rather than being like better than the sum of its parts, it ends up just being like it's almost like a normal type but with extra weaknesses.
It does, yeah. I think it definitely has some play, but it's just trying to land those superpowers. Yeah. I mean, maybe it can work because you can clear your debuff fast and go into something safe like Dunsparce or Oinkalonge. So,
that's
a
good point.
But then again, you also could be throwing away your Dunsparce or Oinkalonge early, which could be the ace in your back pocket. Because I don't know if they necessarily need shield advantages, realistically.
Well, I can definitely see a multiple chip and dip strat happening. Yeah. So like if you lead with the Malamar and then like build up six psycho cuts, throw a superpower, it only takes you like three more psycho cuts when it comes back in to get to another superpower. And then when that happens, like if you've got Malamar, Oinkalonge and Dunsparce, you can like switch to the Dunsparce after your first one and then like throw another superpower and switch to the Oinkalonge then. And like you don't feel scared switching in, like you're not worried about them happening to have the hard counter in the back because there are no hard counters.
There are not any hard counters. So I mean, maybe the best way to handle that would be to come in the mirror matchup and chip whatever their lead is.
Yeah,
because I'm assuming they'd have energy in that matchup that Malamar started with.
Yeah, for sure. So that's interesting thoughts. have a play with it. Unfortunately, the fact that there are banned moves means that the PB Poke rankings aren't currently equipped to be able to show you the official rankings. So you'll have to go into the custom, if you are a PB Poke user, you'll have to go into the custom rankings and have a play around with it yourself. And that's what we did to come up with the picks that we have so far. In the meantime, we also have the Battle Frontier, which is starting this week. And you said you were the Master League specialist for your faction.
Well, I am one of many. We've multiple of them. I was your...
Oh, you lucky duck.
Yeah, so are you familiar with Fraggin' Wagon?
I am. Yes, he's been on the pod, actually.
Yeah, so he was the original Master League specialist. And then he had left. And then I applied for the spot and took it over, and then I basically started playing every meta, since if you can play Master League, you could probably, you probably have the mods for every meta, since I build everything whether it's good or not. And one of our teammates wanted to try it, and they won like every single week. So it's like, I mean, if someone's winning every week, it's very hard, you know, to say, you know, to take the spot. But I mean,
right,
it's definitely, we're a great team and we get along so well. But definitely, I'm excited to get back into the team tournament, because how long have we been out of it?
When did Faction shut down? It was like August or something, like just before Worlds, I think.
Right. I mean, I know the first one, we did have like an original Battle Frontier, but that was more exhibition, it felt like.
Yeah. And there was only like how many teams?
Yeah, only 40. This one feels like it's starting to get... what Battle Frontier or what Factions left off as. I mean, for me, honestly, it was pretty crushing to have Factions go away. I loved Factions. It was definitely finding the, you know, the motivation, you know, to really, you know, grind. I felt it was a little bit harder, since I feel like there was no real, I lost a lot of end goal, it felt like. But with Battle Frontier coming back, I feel like definitely, you know, motivating me back to, you know, grind as hard as I used to.
Yeah, for sure. And I know that you're not alone. Like, Factions was the darling of grassroots PvP. Like, we did kind of mention it as Sylph was shutting down. Like, the solo competition was losing, was like hemorrhaging players. A lot of people seemed to be losing interest in the solo competition, but the idea of being part of a team and the fact that that offered a style of play that you just could not get anywhere else, I think that was really connecting with people, and the thing was growing so, so fast. And you can tell by the fact that, you know, someone comes up with a viable team-based competition in the wake of Sylph, and it goes from having 40 teams in its first season to 250 or so in its second season. So,
especially without Factions, I never would have made it to Worlds personally. I mean, my faction helped me improve as a battler, as well as, I mean, I don't know if I went to Toronto. I mean, I was on the Canadian Shield on, so, I mean, they're all from Canada, and I'm from the States, so, like, it gave me more motivation to go to Toronto, and I'm like, well, I drove 6 hours to go to Toronto, I'm going to try and win.
Yeah.
And I qualified for Worlds, so I was pretty happy about that. I mean, that definitely, you know, and also having my teammates there, like, it was just, it just relieved a lot of stress from a very stressful tournament.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah. And just having those personal connections, that's kind of what gives the community its strength, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, do you want to share a bit of your team that you're going to be running in this first bout?
Well, right now, trying to figure out the metas. I think I am in Serene.
Okay.
I know, try not to leak too much of what I'm bringing, but...
Who's your opponents?
I don't remember. I'm not going to lie. But I know Defense Form Deoxys looks incredibly strong. With that as well, I think Oinkalong looks very interesting. I believe it beats Defense Deoxys in the twos, if I remember correctly.
Ooh, wow.
So, I mean, that's going to be interesting. Maybe I have a chance to run Volt Switch Mew. I think Volt Switch Mew looks kind of good. Achu also looks really good in this meta. I tried Trailblaze on it in, what was it?
You tried it in our practice battles for Sovereign Cup.
Sovereign Cup, yeah. I said Serene, and I was thinking Sovereign. And like, both start with S. Yeah, the Sovereign Cup, Trailblaze didn't feel as good there. I think it'll have more play in this upcoming meta in Serene. And also maybe a few surprise picks. But I can definitely say that upon first looks, there really isn't much grass moves in the game. I see Farfetch'd does have one. I have the XLs. Don't have the Hundo. I have a good one, though. I could build it. I just don't know how good it'll be. But there's definitely a lot I think can have some nice play here. It feels like a very open meta.
So for me, I have been put in the Primordial domain for my team, and I don't mind sharing mine. Like, our opponents probably listen to this, but I'm okay with that. I think the bout will have already started by the time this comes. So this comes out like on the weekend. Okay. So the bout's probably going to be just about over by then anyway. So the team that I have currently registered is Gallisopod with Fury Cutter, X-Scissor, and Liquidation. Milotic, Dedenne, Aurorus, Flygon, and Sudowoodo. So Flygon was like, I had a practice bout with another team and I did get the 2-1, but I did struggle a lot against a Charger Bug with energy. So I took Cradilli out of my team and replaced it with Flygon, which will be really, really good against certain things like Sudowoodo, like Charger Bug, like an opposing to Dene. Going to be interesting against Aurorus because like Powder Snows and Weather Balls will absolutely capitulate that thing. But if you land a Scorching Sands, that can flip things. So
yeah, one thing I noticed is Sudowoodo is going to be incredibly centric in this meta.
Yeah.
The real question is, will your opponent have Rock Throw or Counter? I think is going to be a big thing. And one thing I saw is the deal with that is the Flygon. I think that's definitely going to be nice. You don't want to get on the ice types. The Aurora's versus Flygon matchup is not great, to say the least. But, you know, if you can get energy and get a Sands, that thing's going to hurt. Also, you could have Stone Edge on it to surprise a Togetic. I was running Togetic in the Fantasy Cup. I was running Fairy Wind, but I think in this meta, you want Steel Wing, actually.
That's what PV Poke recommends, yeah. And I'll be honest, Steel Wing Togetic actually has a lot of play into my team. So I think that Stone Edge is actually a really good suggestion. That'll give me a bit extra against the Togetic.
Yeah, I think, I have one without it. Do I Elite TM it? We will find out when I put in that situation. But I'll probably do it.
Yeah, I only have one Togetic built and it's got Fairy Wind, so I don't want to be in a situation where I Elite TM to Steel Wing and then later on there's a meta that I want to use Togetic and it's better with Fairy Wind and I've got to like un-TM it again. Like, I don't want to put a legacy move on it and then take it off later. That would feel bad.
I actually have two and I couldn't decide which one I wanted to build, so this actually makes it easier because this one's shiny that I didn't build.
Ooh,
so,
nice.
This might be one of my very few shinies I have built. I don't typically build shinies because mine always turn out very bad. But hopefully this one turns out good.
Well, good luck in your first bout.
Thank you, thank you.
What tier were you put in?
Third tier, I think.
Third tier, yeah, okay. And there's pools within the tier, is that right?
Ah, that's a great question.
I know, right? It's so hard to follow. Because it's like the admins are working so hard to get everything ready
for
this bout. And there's just so many updates coming in and it's so hard to follow sometimes.
That's why I'm a member and not the captain. So that way I just get told what I need to do. And
I was originally asked to be captain of my team and I accepted, but then I eventually realized I'm not going to be able to do my team justice. So I actually... I want to give a shout out to, I don't know if she listens to the podcast actually, but Athena 1993, I asked her to be the captain because she was the captain of one of our Pallet Town factions when factions was up, and she does such a good job. She's so good at at all the admin stuff, and then just getting a lot out of her team. So, and like, she's a really good leader. So I want to give her a shout out for that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to get back into competitive play now. Hopefully that'll motivate me a little bit more for the Play Pokemon stuff. I know I've been taking a big break off of the Play Pokemon circuit here recently. But I mean, I'm ready to get back into things. I know we had, Charlotte last week, and Knoxville in 2 weeks, or is it next week?
Well, actually, that's a perfect segue. We've got our Play Pokemon section up next. We will talk about what is coming up. First, though, we do have to recap Charlotte. Now, did you get to see any of Charlotte?
Not as much as I wanted to. I missed day one because I was at a friend's engagement party. So I kind of had to go to that. It was a fantastic time. But then day two, I was a little bit tired because we were up very late that night. So I did get to see just the end. But I do know definitely a great tournament. We had a top 16, didn't we?
Was it a top 16 going into today? Because, like, I have to admit, like, I didn't see the thing too, which is so, I feel so bad saying that, especially when, like, the other person hasn't seen it as well. I have the excuse of it started at like 1:15 in the morning my time and finished at like 9 a.m. So, like, there was no way I was going to get to see any of that. But I did wake up to a whole bunch of notifications congratulating Lyle Jeffs the third from Canada for his first regional win. He's come, he's been coming top cut in so many regionals lately. He's finally got a win with a team of Azumarill, Chargebug, Shadow Gligar, Lickitung, Vigoroth, and Whiscash.
Yeah, I'm so glad Lyle was able to win. Lyle's a great friend of mine. Lyle's a fantastic person. During Pittsburgh, we hung out quite a bit. Also during Worlds and during Toronto as well. Fantastic guy. Can't say enough about nice things about him. Mm-hmm. Actually, you do some segments with Lyle, don't you?
Yeah, we get him on for the breakdowns of GBL metas and like grassroots metas whenever they happen. So him and I have worked together quite a lot. He does help out in the Pallet Town server a fair bit. And he is just, he's so knowledgeable and so giving of his knowledge as well. He's like always spending so much time giving advice to other players.
Yes, one of the most outstanding members of our community. Very glad to see the reward and looking forward to seeing him at Worlds. He's gonna be on a tear. I'd love to see him get that travel award as well. I think very deserving and very, very skilled.
I'm particularly looking at, like, this team is, I think, very, very good. The I'm looking at Lickitung and Azumarill make a fantastic core together. Also, Lickitung and Shadow Gligar make a fantastic core together. Yep. So, like, those three are so wonderfully interchangeable. Then you've got the Vigoroth, which is just really safe and applies bench pressure against the Lickitungs that are everywhere. I did see that Lickitung was the most common Pokemon for day two.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, Lickitung is broken. It's in my opinion, I will always yell nerf Lickitung because I lose to it all the time. And whenever I lose to a Pokemon, I will say nerf it because I lost to it. And the only way I would have won is if they would have nerfed it. And unfortunately, I'm yelling it about every Pokemon. So I might be crying wolf a little bit, but yeah, Lickitung is just incredibly strong. It, no matter how much you try and get that thing to go down, it gets a body slam off with just a sliver of health every time.
Every time.
Every time. Exactly. So, I mean, that's definitely, it's just such a safe bond, especially with the Annihilate matchup. Like, now, I don't know how, I know only one Annihilate made day two. I'm not too sure about how much usage it got outside of that, but I mean, it's not that bad of a matchup into Annihilate. It's both want to stay in that matchup, so I mean, it's definitely, I'm looking forward to more Lickitung counters. I look forward to them.
So here's something that I'm currently looking at, and like regular listeners of the show will be aware that I'm just always, always trying to find something that's like a unique pick. My Cindy moment of, you know, bringing something that no one else considered. And suddenly everyone's like, oh, hey, this is actually like really good in the meta. At the moment, I'm thinking Bubble Jellicent might be the way to go.
I like Hex though, personally.
Look, I think Bubble is needed for the Lickitungs, because if you've got a bit of an energy lead and if your opponent throws straight Power Whip, then you can flip switch advantage with Bubble, which you can't do with Hex. So that's like the biggest reason. And then like Bubble's also better against the Shadow Gligar, also the Vigoroth, which if your opponent's bringing that as well.
Right. I mean, it definitely struggles in some matchups, but I mean, I think like you give up I think it makes Azumarill a lot harder, especially to farm down. I mean, Ghost in general is a fantastic typing. Water's a great defensive typing. Ghost is a great offensive typing. That's kind of why I do prefer Hex over Bubble in most cases. I think it's definitely Jellicent. I switched to Jellicent on my Go Battle League team, and I noticed my win percentages start going up.
Hey, you're right.
I think that definitely has something to do with it, but I'm on the Hex train personally.
Yeah, for me, like I've just looked up the matchup against Azumarill. It still wins everything but the 0-2s, and even then, it's a close loss. So I'm pretty comfortable with Azumarill. The thing that I'd be worried about most running Bubble instead of Hex is Cresselia, because suddenly that becomes a lot. Like those Grass Knots come thick and fast. It comes faster than the Shadow Balls can. And so they just outpace you and beat you there.
I mean, I think both, either way, I mean, they're both usable moves, and I don't think you're going to go wrong with either one. I think it just all comes down to personal playstyle and team composition also. I mean, Hex doesn't do as much damage as Bubble, but, you know, is the one energy gen difference between the two significant enough for your team? I think that sometimes is for the user to decide. I mean, it's, you know, 5-5-5 for each Shadow Ball, but a 5-5-4 cycle, that's kind of the cycle I prefer, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, the synergy between Shadow Ball and Surf when you're running Hex is a lot nicer. Like, once you throw... So it takes 4 Hexes to get to a Surf and 5 to get to a Shadow Ball, but it only takes 8 to get to a Surf and a Shadow Ball because of the extra damage, extra energy that you get after throwing one of those moves. So, like, that makes for a really nice hit. And then, like, throwing back-to-back surfs as well, it's 4 to get to the first surf, but then 3 to get to the second and third, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the, like, that's me helping you along with your case for Hex.
But I'd say, in my opinion, I mean, the biggest core breaker right now, I mean, could it be Annihilate?
Okay, so looking at Lyle Jeff's team, it would definitely be good. Like, it absolutely beats the claws off of Vigoroth, so that's not an issue. It would struggle against the Azumarill quite a lot.
Yeah.
It would, I think, not do that well against the Charger Bug. And I've had a few Whiscash Annihilate run-ins, and generally I think it does favor Whiscash. The fact that it takes 8 counters to get to a Shadow Ball, like, that's 16 turns. That's a lot in this day and age, in the current climate that we're in Great League. Like, 16 turns to get to the nuke move is a bit rough.
Yeah, I mean, definitely... There's just feels like a lot of playable Pokemon right now. It's just, you know,
for sure,
where do you want to go and who do you need to target the most? So, I mean, it's very, I think Chargebug, I know, has been talked about a lot. So it's like, that one's definitely a different one to handle. I think you've seen, because of that, a lot of Gligar has come out. So, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of what I'm seeing in future regionals is, I think you'll see some copycat teams. And then you gotta find what the counter is to that copycat team, as well as what the counter is to the copycat, the counter to the counter of the copycat team.
Yeah, for sure. Are you planning on going to another regional this season?
I might go to Knoxville. I know Mason called me the other day about
this
going
is Magic
to Knoxville.
Mason.
Yeah, I was like, I'll think about it. I haven't decided yet. It's coming up a lot sooner than I didn't realize it was this close. I thought I had like way more time than what I did.
Yeah, it sneaks up on you.
It does, but it's gonna be a game time decision. I'll be texting with him.
So you're gonna decide just like just before the weekend, like, yeah, all right, I'll come.
Yeah, probably.
That's funny. So, all right, what better way to bring this up? We've got this weekend is Liverpool happening. Yeah, this weekend. And that is, they've got so many players. Like, last I checked, it was in the 160s, 170s, I think. So that is going to be absolutely stacked. Then we've got the aforementioned Knoxville happening February 2nd to 4th. It's going to be a bit of a quiet one. So definitely see Brown Baller there.
We will see. It's definitely a little bit of a longer drive for me than I'd like. I think it's like a 7-hour drive, which I feel like I'm getting old now. I want to fly there, but like it's not faster to fly there. So it's like it's not a win-win. There's no directs to Knoxville, and I have to drive an hour to the airport. So by the time everything's done, it's like I haven't really saved any time, and I've spent probably more money.
That's fair.
And I sat around in the airport more, which I guess is I don't know if that's more fun, honestly.
Yeah, no. If you can like carpool with Mason, maybe.
He said he'd drive this time. If he does, I'm sleeping in the back. I think Liverpool's going to be exciting. I mean, Europeans, they have definitely a high turnout always. And I'm assuming from what I know about Liverpool, it's pretty easy to get to. I wanted to go to Liverpool, but I'm going to go to one of the European ones next year. I've got that on my list. I like, that's a destination to go to.
That'd be so cool.
It would be. I mean, I always wanted to go to Europe. I always wanted to go to Japan. So I got that one. So I guess let's go to the other, across the other pond. And I just want to try UIC. That's kind of my main goal. I think I just love the IC environment. It's just a different environment. I love being able to interact with people that I really don't get to see that much. Maybe I might come to also one of the OCIC events as well.
I mean, if you can find one, like we just it's been a thing we've been talking about on the podcast the last couple of weeks, and it's been like a lot of the Australians have been talking about it on Twitter, how there's just so little for us here. We've got three regionals. We've got no IC. We've got three regionals, one that's already happened in Brisbane, one that's happening on the same weekend Knoxville is. In Melbourne, and then one happening in, I think it's early April in Perth, which will be tiny, tiny, tiny.
I feel like I want to make the trip for Windows. I definitely would love to go to Australia.
It is beautiful.
I know it is. It's definitely, it's a place I need to go.
Yeah, man, we'll welcome you with open arms.
Yeah, my boss has been there before, and he tells me all these fantastic stories about it. He got to fly a little bit more luxury than I would be flying. He had like his whole like his own room and everything. I don't think I would get that kind of luxury, but I'll take the fun flight.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you're sleeping in like a 16 bed hostel dorm or something.
Yeah,
I have done that. I had to spend one night in Sydney. One time, and it was just like an in and out thing. I was actually, there was a time where I was like starting to pursue acting a little bit, and so I flew to Sydney for this audition. It was going to be for like a kids theater production, and I thought because I was just going to be there one night, I just wanted to go as cheap and dirty as possible. And so I found a dorm in a hostel, which was $25 for the night. This is 25 Australian, so probably like 18 US or something like that. And oh boy, was it overpriced. I would not have paid $25 for it. So it was in the middle of Chinatown.
Okay.
So we were getting a lot of, it was like very humid and sticky. Like we were just above all the restaurants as well. So we were getting all the like fumes from their, mm-hmm. from their ovens and stuff. 16 beds in the dorm. My mattress was, I think just springs. Like it was just all a whole bunch of springs, like rubber banded together. Cause like you sat on the thing and it would just go, and then every time you moved, you just couldn't move without, without an enormous creaking sound. Which was terrible when you were trying to sleep overnight and there are other people trying to sleep in the beds next to you. There was a man in the bunk next to me who was snoring like a freight train. And not only did that, you know, keep us awake, but it would also terrify us because occasionally, okay, he would be like snoring, and then just stop. The sound would stop for like 15, 20 seconds, and we'd be like, is he dead? Like, did he choke on his tongue or something? And then like the snoring would start back up again, and we'd kind of be like at once relieved and frustrated.
I am a very bad snorer.
Oh, you are too? Man, that must suck. Like, does it affect your, like how alert you are the next day?
No, I fall asleep. I can fall asleep anywhere.
But, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've fallen asleep on tile floors before.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
During GoFest, I fell asleep on the floor without any blankets or pillows.
Wow. like outside in public or like
in the Airbnb.
In the Airbnb. Okay. Cool.
It was on the I fell asleep right on the floor.
That's funny. So you just like couldn't make it to the bed.
Well, I was laying on the floor because that's where I can stretch out and lay down and stuff. And like, I just put my head down and I just fell asleep.
That's funny. Were you staying with anyone?
Yeah. Yeah. I was staying with a few people from the underground.
Oh, cool. Cool. And so none of them like tried to wake you up?
Oh, when I went to GoFest, I literally came off a flight from Japan.
Yeah.
And like did laundry and then went immediately to GoFest.
Yeah,
so yep. I was a little bit jet lagged. I'm assuming you were probably less jet lagged.
For me, it was absolutely fine. There's only a half hour difference between us and Japan. Half an hour between us and Japan. So yeah, like absolutely fine. And like everyone was talking about the heat, the sweltering heat. I was okay with that too. Like I'm pretty used to it being that hot.
Yeah, it was actually pretty hot there. That one I noticed.
So let's reel it back on track. We have Knoxville February 2nd to 4th. On the same weekend, we have Melbourne February 3rd and 4th. Brown Baller might come to that one instead of Knoxville. We'll see. We have Dortmund on February 10th to 11th, 55. Registered for that. Utrecht, the special event there, is happening on March 2nd to 3rd. And currently 173 registered for that. So we'll probably even beat Liverpool with that one, which is wild to me. And then Vancouver is happening from March 22nd to 24th. Registration for that opens January 24. And with that, let's move on to the mailbag. We're just going to read one mail this week. We do like to save the letters generally for when DeFi and I are both here, but we do want to get Brown Baller's opinion on this one question, and that is from Arkham Patient, who sent this in on January 13. Arkham says, "Hello, Fish on a Heater," and I've crossed out DeFi 250 and written Brown Baller there. "For your Ultra League segment, I'm hoping for some recommendations to fill out my Ultra League team. My lead is an Umbreon with Snarl, Last Resort, and Foul Play. Next is my Armored Mewtwo with Confusion, Psystrike, and Dynamic Punch, which is typically a closer. I'm not happy with my third team member and was wondering if you could give me any team building recommendations. Thanks for the informative content. As always, Arkham Patient."
So what I'm seeing here is I love Umbreon. I absolutely love Umbreon. It's one of my favorite Pokemons to run. It's just very, very strong, and it makes a lot of sense in lead. You can, you know, really, you don't have to shield. You can stay. It has a significant amount of neutral matchups. The big thing that I definitely fear with it is counter and fairies, which I think, you know, Armored Mewtwo doesn't do like horrible into either of those. It's not like, you know, a true counter to them. So it's a very nice combination. So really, I'd say the biggest issue is Scrafty and probably Registeel. So like, that's the biggest thing, is trying to find something that can hit both of those two. So a counter user is nice, but the issue is you do kind of double up a weakness against the fairy typing. So trying to find that may be a little bit difficult.
Cobalion?
I could see Cobalion working, yeah. That definitely could work.
Maybe your own Registeel?
Yeah, but I think you become... Scrafty being aggressive as shields could be an issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cobalion, while it's not as great... may be able to do some more. I think Virizion probably would be also a big issue there as well.
Jellicent, then you're kind of double weak to dark in the back, and your third's neutral against dark, so maybe not that. What else do we have? Your own fairy type?
I mean, yeah, fairy, like, but that's not really strong to Registeel. I think it's Kobay. I mean, it says Poliwrath, Registeel. I just don't like how Registeel plays there. I think Cobalion still would be my pick. I mean, it's just a good, reliable mon.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Scrafty leads probably are the worst to see. But if you can find a way to try and, you know, get Scrafty shields down, Mewtwo may not be as easy of a safe swap there, which makes it closer makes sense. So trying to pull shields and go into that scenario with a dynamic punch landing can definitely be something Scrafty doesn't love to eat. While you do resist the counters and they resist your confusions, still a neutralish matchup. Mm. So, I mean, Cobalion, I think definitely would be my recommendation.
So let's throw this one at you. Say you said you loved Umbreon. Say we didn't have the Mewtwo there. Uh-huh. What would you put with the Umbreon?
Great question. Poisons typically pair very well with it. You still do have that Registeel weakness with what I'm probably going to suggest, but XLs excel in Ultra League. So whenever you can put an XL on a team, it always benefits. I love
So Galarian Weezing?
I would put Tentacruel. I love
Tentacruel. Oh, yeah. Yep.
I love Tentacruel. It's so good. Now, whether you want to run Blizzard, Acid Spray, or Sludge Bomb, you can't go wrong with all three. You don't maybe need the Blizzard as much because you got Umbreon, so that Giratina coverage isn't as necessary. But I think Umbreon Tentacruel. I know Army Mewtwo can sometimes be a little bit difficult to build around just because it does have a little bit of... It's not as fast as other moves, but it's definitely very strong.
I really like it. It's like very defensively weighted, so it can certainly take a punch. It's got really interesting moves. But yeah, I think it struggles with the prevalence of things like Giratina. But then that's why you've got Umbreon on the team, so it kind of makes sense from that perspective.
Right. I mean, you're still hitting it for neutral side strike. Side strike's an amazing move.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And one thing I'll also point out is that you've got two charge moves on each of your Pokemon, which is like we bring it up every now and then. That's like an absolute must. Like it's so much harder to make a Pokemon work if you don't have an extra move for coverage and to be able to increase the Pokemon's skill set and the tools that you can utilize with that. So well done for that. Yeah, like interesting start to the team, and hopefully the Cobalion works out for you. You are still double weak to counter though with Cobalion.
You are, but I guess Umbreon does decent into the counter users. I mean, I guess Machamp can be a problem, but I mean, there's a lot. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things.
So, I mean, see how it goes. We can workshop it from there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I always love Tentacruel. I always love Tentacruel. Yeah. I think you could even justify Umbreon with Tentacruel and Mewtwo. I mean, it's just that good.
Yeah, just you'll lose when you encounter Registeel, but hey, like everything's weak to something, right?
Yeah, I mean it's not, but you're not that weak to Registeel. I mean, like Registeel, you chip it with Snarl with Foul Play. Honestly, you don't like eating Focus Blast, but you're so tanky.
Yeah,
you can tank it. You have Dynamic Punch on Armored Mewtwo, so I mean, if you're able to set yourself up, you can get in the better spot. Tentacruel will probably be the worst matchup. Zap Cannon hurts. That's the most unfortunate thing. And But if you can get a Scald debuff, I love Tentacruel. It's, in my opinion, it's definitely a play.
Yeah, okay. So thanks, Ark and Patient, for writing in. Of course, you can write in yourself with the details that we will give you at the end of the podcast. In the meantime, let's talk about some achievements. We like to celebrate the achievements of members of the Palutown community, which I help run, and the GoCast Discord server. So on Palutown, we have Meeksy Slaw, who has hit Legend for the first time. We have ZT Smith, who's hit number 89 on the leaderboard, and OG Blastoise has hit Expert, the fastest that they have ever done so. And on the GoCast server, we have Tuberboy50, who has hit Veteran. Well done to all those trainers. Moving along to the shameless plugs, Brown Baller, do you have anything to plug? Any socials or any projects coming up?
I have my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/brownballer10. If you guys hit a follow there, definitely would love that. Appreciate that much. Also my Twitter, twitch.tv, brownballer10_, where I like to just be me. I will do random stuff, you know, try and be as entertaining as possible. I have done cooking videos. I'm actually going to do some more, maybe actually make some YouTube cooking videos and see how those go. But like, we made a video of, you know, how to make a salad. It's really easy. You buy a bag of salad, you open it up, and you pour it on the plate, and you've got salad.
that's a great cooking video. Follow it up.
Like, people love it. It's entertaining. You know, I try to be entertaining. Like, is it super important for making a salad? No. But like, you know, when you hear something like this, it's like, okay, you have my attention. So yeah, I do, like, it's like the most obvious stuff that I try and do. And like,
I can't argue with that.
Yeah, just try and like, people like it. It's, you know, a nice comedic relief.
Yeah.
Maybe you actually might do some more serious stuff that I bought an air fryer recently. So, gonna play with that. And, maybe some new toys as well. I know I watched on a video, about how to disinfect lettuce. I will tell you that you can, in fact, disinfect lettuce with a blowtorch.
So check out Brown Bulletin if you want some of that quality content. That does sound actually genuinely amazing.
It does. Like, who doesn't want to watch someone play with a blowtorch?
For me, I don't think I have much to plug. We do need to do our breakdowns. Like, myself and Lyle Jeffs need to do our breakdown of the Hisui Cup coming up, and also the new Sovereign Cup that is starting at the beginning of February. And with that, we love hearing from you. If you have any questions or suggestions for myself or DeFi when she is back, you can direct that feedback to pvpcorner@gocastpodcast.com. You can also send us voicemail or physical mail to the GoCast PO Box. Take a look at the show description for the phone number and the PO Box address. In the show description, you can also click on More Fish and More DeFi to take you to our other projects and ways to contact us. And we will also grab those links from Brown Baller if you want to pursue that as well. Also, don't forget, have a listen to the other two shows in this podcast feed. The main GoCast podcast for all the news, tips, and community you need in the world of Pokemon Go, and the newest addition to the family, Star Piece, where Chris and Lachlan recently interviewed Ian Waterfall from the Incense podcast. And we will see you next week.
And actually, one more thing, Fish. Oh, so
yes.
So here's just one thing on podcasts that I always like to ask everybody. Do you believe in ghosts?
Where does that question come from first?
It comes from one of my favorite podcasts, the Toshcast, which is Daniel Tosh. He's a comedian, and he asks to all of his questions, his people. It also is real hilarious. He'll actually give all the people that he interviews something random from his house. Just like, he gave his one friend a bunch of sweaters from his house that didn't fit him.
Right. Okay. I don't have any sweaters for you. I'm sorry.
Ah.
And so like, this ghost question is one that he asks every week, or is this like
every week he asks them, do they believe in ghosts?
Okay. So I'm going to say I'm ghost agnostic.
Okay.
So I'm skeptical whenever anyone brings up their ghost story of, oh, this one time I actually saw a real legit ghost. I'm like, eh, did you? But I do believe that there are things beyond what we are currently able to perceive. Whether the stories we hear are all legit stories, I have my doubts.
Yeah, I'd say I do, but I mean, there's no reason not to. I mean, if I'm wrong, what's the worst case scenario? Is if I'm wrong. I've been wrong a lot. So I mean, if I'm wrong about it, oh well.
Yeah, for sure. And that actually makes me think of, I guess, if ghosts were to exist, that would actually call into question things like religion. Like, surely the proof of the existence of ghosts would then provide evidence for the existence of a soul, which would then lead to, well, maybe that proves the whole idea of there being a god and a heaven and a hell.
Yeah.
Interesting question. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
And with that, we'll see you next week.